This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to yet another edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us. And thank you so much for listening and downloading to this podcast. I just need to say a huge, huge thank you. The numbers continue to grow and the audience and the feedback that I get is just absolutely incredible. Don't forget as well that we are just a few weeks away from giving away that entry into an Ironman. We're going to pay for someone's Ironman entry. It can be an Ironman or an Ironman 70.3. All you need to do is leave us a review and a rating on iTunes, and head over to this URL. It's thekonaedge.com/win. That's where you can enter the contest, and the draw is going to be happening at the end of November, beginning of December. So all the details are on that page. Go check it out, thekonaedge.com/win. If you haven't done it yet, you have no idea how much those ratings and reviews really help us in iTunes. It gets us in front of more people, and obviously the more reviews and ratings we have, the better our sort of ranking is within iTunes, and more people get exposed to what we're trying to do here at the Kona Edge, and that's helped you become the best triathlete that you can be. Before we get into today's interview as well, and I must tell you, it is an absolute beauty. I'm really looking forward to sharing this one with you. I also just wanted to say thank you very much to everyone who has supported the Kona Edge up until now. One of the things you may have recalled a few weeks ago, we released a podcast just about some of the things that are happening here at the Kona Edge, and I mentioned the opportunity for you to become a patron of the Kona Edge, and a few people have taken me up on that offer. Thank you very much to each and every one of them, and you can too. And in becoming a patron, you can access the commercial free feed of the Kona Edge, so you get it without the ads, but depending on what level of patron you become, you can also access other exclusive members-only content. Like, for instance, at the moment, I am releasing a one-a-week podcast, a little bit about my journey and some of my goals, and that's also only available to patrons. So you can get access to that. And you can also become a proper supporter. So there's a way for you to access all of the podcasts in one go. And and you can also get mentioned, just like Ted Britz, who has got himself to a level on that Patreon website, where he gets mentioned as a supporter. Ted, thank you for your help and support. Much appreciated, mate. I know you're a huge fan of the show, and I really appreciate your support. Thank you so very much. If you'd like to become a patron of the Kona Edge, all you need to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/patron. It's as simple as that, and you can support us and supporting you and helping you become a better triathlete. So let's get on with today's show. And like I said, really excited to share it with you. And it's a pretty cool story. And our guest today is Ben Hammer. We head to Grand Rapids in Michigan in the United States now. And we touch base with Ben Hammer. Ben, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me. Pleasure to be with you.
Ben, we were just talking before we started recording. You were telling me this is we're recording on a Saturday, and it's a pretty early morning Saturday for you, middle of the day. I've just got back from a long ride. You didn't ride today, and you were saying it's your first Saturday off training-wise in a long, long time.
Yeah, I think it might be about 10 months.
Tell me what
it's kind of a strange thing, and I'm grateful for the break.
What do normal people do on a Saturday morning?
Well, me, I woke up to talk to you.
Thank you, much appreciated. I got you out of bed earlier. It's brilliant, Ben. Let's touch on you and your journey into triathlon. You grew up and you're a pretty decent runner. When did the love of or the seed of triathlon get planted in you?
That's a great question. I've tried to think back on exactly when it happened, and I couldn't really pinpoint it. I know, growing up, I saw the coverage of the triathlon in Kona, obviously. And I remember seeing it and just actually being kind of frightened by it. It seemed to me like the most extreme sort of athletic undertaking that somebody could attempt. And somehow that morphed into, over the years, that morphed into sort of a bucket list item of doing an Ironman. And I actually had a pretty serious injury that I had in college, and I think that kind of cemented the dream of one day being able to be healthy and to come back and do an Ironman after I was finished with my running in college.
Were you always an active kid? I mean, were you always running around the neighborhood, and has sort of been busy and sporty always been part of your life?
Yes, very much so. I have one older brother and two younger sisters, and we were obsessed with sports growing up. I've played just about everything and just really enjoyed being active. Eventually I had to sort of pick. My parents wouldn't let me continue to do multiple sports at one time. And I was I gravitated pretty well to running. So I did cross country and track in high school, but I grew up playing baseball, hockey, and just, you know, all kinds of different things, especially with my brother.
And one of four kids, I'm guessing that's where the competitive gene was born.
Very much so, yes. I am a very competitive person, and so are my siblings. As the younger of the two boys in the family, I spent a lot of time losing to my brother growing up, and I think that's where I developed a lot of the competitive drive.
Ben, I love it, and I'm pretty much the same. Although I'm the youngest in the family, I got an older brother and sister, and I feel exactly the same way about my brother. Growing up, I lost everything, and I'm pleased to say the last Ironman we did together, I caught him with about 8 miles left in the run. And I was thinking, what do I do? Do I slap him on the back and say, best of luck, buddy? Or do I stay with him? And I ended up staying with him and beat him on virtue that my name starts with a B, his starts with a D. Our finish time was exactly the same. But because of the alphabet, I did beat him in an Ironman, which is fantastic.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Ben, let's...
Well, my brother was the first to... I was just going to say, my brother was the first to do an Ironman. That was part of... I guess my Ironman story as well. And he then, after he did his, for my first one, he helped coach me, and he's been pretty monumental in my Ironman story.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is brilliant. How did he go? Are you better than him? I'm taking it. You're better than him, aren't you?
I am, yes.
You beat him. Yay! I love it. Ben, let's talk about sort of just work-life balance, and we'll dig a bit more into the triathlon side of things at the moment. But you've got a family. You've got a couple of kids yourself. You come from a math teaching background, and funnily enough, I've spoken to a number of math teachers who have qualified for the Big Island, and I'm starting to think that is a prerequisite. If you want to be good in triathlon, you have to be a math teacher. But you've left that career. Now you're doing something slightly different. Tell us a little bit about your sort of work-life balance and how you juggle that in the sport.
I wish I had something wise to say here, because then I would take my own advice, because that continues to be probably the most challenging aspect of triathlon for me, and I know it is for a lot of people. You know, it takes a lot of discipline, and it takes a lot of sacrifice, and you know, that's the only way around it, I think. And unfortunately, a lot of those sacrifices have to be made not only by me, but they also have to be made by my family. And I have a tremendously supportive wife. I've got two young kids, a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And then I've got a little boy who's coming in November. It continues to be the work life, family life balance, you know, continues to be something I have to figure out all the time. But you know, it involves a lot of doing workouts when you wouldn't necessarily want to do them. But that's the way you can get it done. And then the other piece too, I think, is learning to be more and more efficient with your workouts. And I'm sure that's a segment we'll touch on later as well. But that's, you know, obviously something that's really important for me. I have to be tremendously efficient with my time. And fitting as much into a workout space as I possibly can.
And that's not just working out too. It's the time you spend with your wife and your kids. It's a case of making that count when you are there and are present.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one thing that's been tremendously helpful for me, is I take, one day every week. For me, it's Sunday. And Sunday is always a day off from working out. And is a family day. And that's just been a great thing for, our family. And it's been a really, you know, helpful thing for my physical health, but, ultimately for my mental health and for our family life.
I was going to say for your sanity too. Sometimes we tend to get so sort of deep into this thing that it overtakes every aspect of our life, and sometimes it is good just to be able to switch off like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that having two young kids is a great thing from a sanity perspective, if as funny as that may sound, because there's no. You can't live in triathlon world when you have two young kids, because, you know, their presence demands that you be present when you're with them. And so, you know, it doesn't matter if you are distracted or have a workout that you're thinking about or trying to prepare for, if, you know, they have their needs and you've got to meet them. And that sort of snaps you back to reality, on a daily basis.
Ben, I'm amazed. You're talking about a two-year-old and a four-year-old now, and it was a year ago, pretty much the time that we were recording this, that you were on the Big Island and getting ready to race in Kona. It must be tough. I mean, I know what it's like sort of training for an Ironman with small kids, but those are particularly little. And they, like you say, they demand a lot of your time, but chances are they're probably not sleeping through the night either. So there's that to deal with. Has that been a big challenge in your sort of preparation, particularly when you're wanting to race to the best of your ability?
Yes, tremendously difficult. I don't think that I've gotten a lot of good nights of sleep in the last couple of years. And, you know, my downtime looks a lot different than a lot of my competitors' downtime. It's just something you have to learn to balance. Thankfully, in Kona last year, my brother and his wife took our two little ones, and they have three little ones of their own. So they had five kids, under the age of five for the week that we were in Kona. And so they were the real heroes of that race, because they allowed my wife and I to be there kid free. So that was really nice.
I was going to say, I wonder what's tougher, looking after five kids or racing in the Ironman World Championships.
Absolutely watching five kids.
I love that. Ben, let's go back to your first Ironman. And you said you remember seeing Kona on television and thinking, yeah, maybe. Can you remember the decision to actually do your first one and the thinking and the sort of mind games that went into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife and I mean, I remember the conversation vividly. We had sort of been toying with the idea. And, you know, part of that story, like I said, is I had to have a pretty serious surgery, due to a blocked artery in my leg, due to a birth defect. The artery was routed wrong. So I had spent a week in the hospital in Chicago, having it fixed. They took 2 feet of vein from one side of my leg and put it in the other. And so when I got healthy from that, at the time my wife and I didn't have any children, and we were on a drive, and I said, well, you know, I feel like this is, you know, maybe the best time of our life for me to do this and kind of get it out of my system. And so she's always been very supportive, and she's a great athlete herself, and so she understood the drive or the need, and she agreed, said that she'd be happy to have come alongside me and have me do it. And so we signed up for the race. And then about, you know, a couple months later, she got pregnant, and we had a little one coming, I think, maybe 2 weeks after the race that we signed up for, which was Ironman Louisville.
Wow. That's incredible. And I love the fact that you say we, because it is a team effort. As much as Ironman's an individual sport, you have to have buy-in from everyone involved.
Oh, absolutely. That's the most important thing that I've learned in this process is you can't do it yourself. It's not a thing. It's not something that you do yourself. It's something that you do as a family. And if you don't have 100% buy-in, it's the only thing it's going to do is tear you apart rather than be something that kind of unites your family and is a common goal that you all work towards.
Yeah.
And I've seen it happen both ways for people, and it's just a lot of fun when it is a common goal for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing to watch, I think.
Could not agree more. Ben, tell me about that first experience in Louisville. Was it harder than you thought it was? Did it go exactly according to plan, your race? I mean, was it tell me a little bit about your experience.
Well, it's important to realize the thing I didn't say is when I signed up for that triathlon, which was Ironman Louisville, I had never done a triathlon before of any distance. So, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. In my training leading up to that race that summer, I did a sprint triathlon. I did an Olympic. And then the third try that I did was Louisville. So, you know, I was pretty ignorant, I guess I would say, of what to expect. And I was very green at just about every aspect of triathlon, but I kind of went in knowing that I just needed to get out of the water with as little damage as possible. And I knew I could bike decently well. I'd done a fair bit of riding that summer and it had made a lot of progress on the bike. But my mantra kind of going in was I just need to get to the run. Just get me to the run and I'll be okay. And so, you know, going through the race, I remember thinking, especially on the bike, like trying to sort of monitor my energy output, and thinking, you know, how am I feeling? Am I doing okay? I didn't have any sort of, you know, power meter or heart rate monitor or anything like that. I just went on feel and, you know, I thought, am I feeling okay? You know, can I run? And then I would think, well, can I run a marathon? And that was sort of a daunting thing to constantly ask yourself, can I run a marathon? So yeah, I kind of laugh looking back on that now, at how little sort of data I had, while I was racing. But I got to the run and it was really, really hot. But as soon as I started running, I got a mile in, and I remember seeing my family and giving them a thumbs up, because it was like, all right, yep, this feels familiar. I've done this lots before, and I know I'm going to be okay.
Do you think going into your first one like that, it's almost a bit of a blessing in disguise that you don't have sort of any, as you say, any data to go by, that it's almost ignorance is bliss and we'll see what happens? And sometimes if you do know what you're in for, that might psych you out and you don't end up following through.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that, you know, information is good, but sometimes we put too much into it, because a lot of times people have a race plan and then something happens on that day and they aren't able to adapt that race plan based on the variables that have changed, and they end up putting themselves in a really bad position. And it's really important that you are able to adapt your race plan based on, you know, what the weather is or what's changing in the race around you. Because I've never done a race where something wasn't different than I expected. And so, being able to monitor how you're doing in the moment and adapt accordingly is just a really valuable skill for triathlon.
Knowing what you know now, would you do anything or have done anything different? Would you have changed that process to your first one, or would you have pretty much done it much the same?
I I was pretty pleased overall, I think, with what I did for that race. You know, I probably could have biked a little bit more aggressively than I did, but you know, overall it was fine. You know, there was when I went to Louisville to sign up the day before I dropped off. Actually, it was the day that I dropped my bike off. The battery on my bike computer died, and I vividly remember going to the expo to buy another battery for my bike computer. And I mentioned to the checkout person who was helping me, I said, "Oh yeah, I'm really glad that you guys have these batteries." Of course, I didn't know that they have everything under the sun at the expo. I said, "I'm really glad you have these batteries because my bike computer just died." And the woman kind of looked at me and she said, "Well, you're riding with a heart rate monitor tomorrow, right?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't have one." And she said, "Well, do you have a power meter?" And I said, "No." She said, "Are you just using your speed as your guide on the ride?" And I said, "Yeah." And she kind of looked at me. She smiled really condescendingly and she said, "This is your first one, isn't it?" And I just remember being kind of insulted. And, you know, that actually ended up being big motivation for me when I was out on the course. Cause I really, in my head, I really wanted to, prove her wrong that, you know, this was my first one and I was going to mess up. So, and it turned out okay.
what a cool story. I love that. Ben, looking at making the decision to chase a Kona slot, that's also a pretty big decision. I mean, it's a huge commitment to do your first Ironman, but tell me about the, what goes into that process.
Yeah, that's a lot more of a gut-wrenching thing than I had anticipated. So going into my first one, you know, we had obviously done all the training and for me at, you know, I was teaching at the time. So I was, you know, I'd picked an Ironman that was, you know, just a week into the start of school. So I just kind of had to survive that heavy training through the first week of school. And then, you know, plan was to do the race and then be able to come back. And my wife was going to have a baby in 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden I qualified and, you know, you have to, you've basically just done, you know, one of the most painful things of your life, and you feel absolutely horrible, and you think, I don't ever want to do that again. And then you have to face the decision of, not only for me, do I want to do that again, but do I want to do that again in 7 weeks? Because Louisville at the time was 7 weeks away from Kona. And I went to bed that night thinking, no, you know, I don't think I'm going to take my spot. I mean, I want to be able to be present and kind of focused on this baby that we have coming, and I'm ready to be done training for a little while. So I actually went to bed that night, not planning on taking my spot. And then, my wife and I had, you know, spent some time praying about it, and that was sort of my decision that evening. And then I woke up in the morning and my mind had completely changed. And I looked at my wife and I said, I think I need it. If I don't, I think I'm going to really regret it. And, she looked at me and said, yeah, I think the same thing. And, I went down to the lobby of the hotel and told my family my decision. And they said, "Oh, glad, we're so glad because, we thought you were making a horrible mistake." So then I went to the roll down and accepted the slot. And, I'm really glad I did.
Wow, that must have been an incredible, incredible 7 weeks between those two races.
Not ones I would ever care to re-experience. They were horribly stressful. I also, the other thing I haven't mentioned is at the time I was the head cross country coach at my school. I was coaching 35 boys on our cross country team. So not only was I then trying to teach and coach, but then I also had to continue fitting in my workouts in that time. Then my wife had the baby after 2 weeks, and so for about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, I had to teach, coach, train, and be a first-time father. So it was pretty stressful.
I'm sure. Ben, Kona is a special place for you in your mind. What makes it so special?
That's a great question. I think what really was impressed on me when I was there for the first time was that you have this picture in your mind of Hawaii being like the most beautiful place on earth, and it is very beautiful. But the course itself is probably one of the least beautiful or probably one of the worst courses of any of the Ironmans. And I just remember realizing that it very much felt like when you get to Hawaii, nobody is impressed or nobody cares about the distances of the Ironman anymore. They don't care about the fact that you can swim 2.4 miles or that you can bike 112 or that you can run 26.2. None of that matters. It's not impressive because everybody there, you know, has done it many times. It's all about basically taking those distances and putting them on the most challenging course that you possibly can and seeing if you can survive. You know, for me, I think that was kind of startling when you're actually on the bike course and when you're especially on the run course and you realize how bland and just mentally challenging the surroundings are. And I know that sounds strange because you think, again, Hawaii, it's got to be really beautiful. It's not. Biking through lava fields for, you know, 100 miles is not beautiful. And running along the side of a highway for, you know, 18 miles is not beautiful.
Exactly, especially when it's hot and the wind is blowing. What surprised you most about Kona and the race itself?
You know, I think this probably some of what I just said, but then also, you know, the winds in the year that I did it first in 2012. You know, just feeling the strength of the winds, was definitely, a surprise to me. And the fact that they're not consistent, makes it very, you know, handling the bike very, very challenging. And just, you know, outright dangerous at times. You know, I remember during the race, I remember seeing, the mileage marker signs, which are, you know, quite hefty. I remember seeing them blown over. And you know, sort of being a little startled at how I was gonna, you know, stay up on my bike. So yeah, it just experiencing, you know, everybody talks about the strength of wind, but when you actually feel it for yourself, it is a little bit overwhelming.
Ben, how do you approach that first one? Do you go in there just to soak it up and experience Kona and racing on the Big Island, or do you go there with ambitions, going, you know what, I want to see how good I am? How did you approach it?
Yeah, that's a question. I don't think there's any one right answer to that. I think it totally depends on the person. You know, for me, I didn't want to go into the race with the mindset of, you know, I'm just here to have fun. You know, I think you can soak things up, but I still wanted to try and get the most out of myself. I still wanted to, you know, get on the starting line and do the best that I could. Because ultimately I think that makes the day, that much more meaningful. So I don't think you have to have one without the other. But I think it is important to remind yourself when things do get hard to be able to look around and just sort of, appreciate, that you're there and what you get to experience. You know, and it just kind of naturally happens. There are lots of fun, you know, small things that take place throughout the day, that, you know, you kind of, get to pinch yourself and remind yourself that you're at the world championships, like right before the race start, when the helicopter flies overhead, you know, that doesn't happen at any of the other races, or when you're swimming. And I remember seeing a dark object in the water and, you know, being a little freaked out. And then I looked down and I realized it was a scuba diver who was filming underneath us in the water. And, you know, so there are lots of those kind of little things that happen throughout the day that are fun things that you can experience and appreciate later on.
Have you – I mean, you last year, 2015, you had a fantastic race. You podiumed in the age group. Have you got unfinished business on that island, or are you pretty satisfied with what you've done? And if you get to go back, you go back. But are you pretty happy with the performances you've put in Kona?
I was very happy. I think the answer to that is always to be happy, but not content. I felt like I had a good day, especially for the day that we had last year in Kona. It was extremely hot. I have some things that I would like to do. I still would like to run a little bit faster there than I have. And I also had a wheel issue in Kona. I had kind of basically a flat tire before the race. I did that whole ride with just a partially filled tire on my bike. So I'm looking to go back there and be faster than I was before. And I still have some goals of some improvements I'd like to make.
What are you struggling with and sort of working on right now?
That would definitely be the nutrition piece during the race, especially for varying temperatures. I feel like sometimes I have a really good nutrition plan going in, and then sometimes the temperature is, maybe a little bit more extreme than what you had expected. And it kind of throws what you had hoped to be able to digest or take in. It can throw that off a little bit. I'm still working on dialing in the nutrition on race day. I've gotten it to work out really well for me in my training, but sometimes on race day, it seems like my stomach is a little bit more finicky than in some of my training sessions.
Ben, what's the one piece of gear that's sort of just changed everything you do and revolutionized, if I want to use that word, your triathlon career?
Without a doubt, it would be the power meter on the bike. That's the one thing that if you took it away from me, I would have a very hard time going back. Everything else I could do without.
Who fires you up? Who really inspires you?
That's a great question. A lot of people really inspire me. I loved getting to train this year, during the Olympics, and getting to watch, all the high profile athletes, people like Michael Phelps, who have been, doing amazing things in their sport for a really long time, to a lot of the, other people who maybe you haven't heard of until the Olympics. I thought that, Chelimo's performance in the 5,000 was really cool, in the Olympics for the U.S. I'm a big fan of Nick Willis. I loved his performance in the 1500. So yeah, I just have a lot of those, Olympic athletes who I like watching and rooting for.
Absolutely. As far as sort of long-term goals, what do you still want to achieve in the sport?
Now, that's a great question. One that I, ask myself a lot, especially as my family continues to grow. I want to continue to get better, to continue to improve. I think that's always the goal that everybody can have is to continue to try to get the most out of themselves. And that's kind of what I'm shooting for too. I feel like, every day, I still am able to make gains in certainly in my swimming, because I'm a very new swimmer. I'm still making gains on the bike and I'm still, with somebody with a running background, I'm just trying to, hold on to that as much as I can every day as well. So, that's kind of the fun part about triathlon is because you have these three different disciplines to work on, you feel like you can always keep improving, in each one. And then certainly in the synthesis of all three, so continuing to improve running when off the bike. So I feel like I still have a lot of gains to make in those areas. And, I'm the drops in time don't come as easily as they used to. But they still are coming, and that's what I want to continue to do. I do really have a goal. I've never broken 9 hours in an Ironman before, and I would love to do that. So that's kind of a side goal as well.
I love that. What's the biggest life lesson that Ironman and triathlon has taught you?
I think, boy, that's a great question. Just picking the biggest is a tough one. I think the value of communicating with your spouse and having shared goals together is really probably one of the most important things that it's taught me. You aren't, when you're married, you are not an island. You have, sort of a responsibility as a team, to help each other out. And it's my job to make sure that I'm, even when I'm, really tired from a long day or a long workout, it's my job to still be a good husband and a good father. Even if I don't, feel up to it, I feel like going and collapsing on the couch, because I'm part of that team.
Awesome. Ben, and then finally, what's been your biggest triathlon disappointment, and what have you learned from that?
Boy, that's an easy one to answer for me. I did Louisville, and then I did Kona, and then I did Wisconsin, and then I did Kona again. And then this past year, the plan was to do, I was doing Ironman Texas, in May. And then the plan was to do Kona again, a week from now. I trained really, really hard. Have been working with a coach, David Tilbury Davis. And he's been monumental in my sort of training and improvement. I was just really in a great spot. I was probably happier with where I was at in my training than at any other point, even going into Kona last year. I went out this May, and I came out of the water faster than I ever had. I was biking faster than I'd ever biked. I got sick at about 60 miles into the bike course. My stomach just got really upset, not exactly sure why. I threw up many times on the bike. I was able to finish the bike off, but when I started the run, I was just completely bankrupt of all water and calories. And I ended up pulling out of the race at the halfway point of the run. I just remember just being crushed, just feeling like my training and my fitness had not been able to come through in my performance. And that was really disappointing. I knew the sacrifices that had taken place over the past 6 months and how hard I'd worked. It was really a bummer to see them not pay off, basically.
Brilliant. Well, Ben, it's been awesome chatting. Loved sharing your story, and I look forward to delving into the individual disciplines next time out, but we'll save that for then. Much appreciated. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to catching up again soon here on the Kona Edge.
Thanks a lot for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge. We'll be right back.